Welcome in to the 104 Sports Report here for season 5. My name is Brian Burrows. I'm joined by Alex Brooks. We're the new hosts of this show. Alex, how are you today?
I am doing great, Brian, and I am so excited to take over this podcast. I would just like to give a shout out to Joey Pulaski and Zachary Case for giving us this podcast and transferring over and trusting us with this baby, as Zach Case said earlier. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, me too. This is a great honor, I think, for both of us to be handed down to us. I am ready to get right in. I know you have a couple of things you want to mention first.
Yeah, just introducing, I would just like to introduce myself. So obviously I'm Alex Brooks. I work with pretty much all the media orgs now, taking over this podcast. Been with WTOP, been with WNYO, and now taking over the Oswegonian 104 Sports Report podcast. And I'm just excited for, you know, my junior year, getting, you know, a year under my belt last year with everything that went on. I'm sure you can say the same, Brian. And I'm just excited to get to work, pretty much.
Yeah, me too. I know, also juniors, me and Alex, we've been working together for the last about year and a half. We're on this journey together, and this is just the next step for the both of us.
It's going to be a wild ride. I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
All right, so some goals that me and Brian have for this podcast going forward is to just get, obviously, have our listeners, you know, stay with us through the transition of our host, but also be more interactive with this podcast. I was talking to Brian earlier in the week about how we want to eventually, as you know, the seasons, as we go into winter and we go into spring and we get more comfortable with this podcast, we want to include more elements on our social media handles. And we just want to have something where we have either stand-ups after games or just some more content out there on that Instagram to, you know, promote us a little bit more. I would pretty much say that's our goals for the podcast. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I completely agree. Maybe get some fan interaction. You know, we can, on Spotify, you can leave questions, different reviews. So we can definitely, anybody got questions, we can answer that. So obviously, check us out, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our social media handles, which Brooks just mentioned, the 104 Sports Report on Instagram and Twitter. That is 104 Sports Report, Instagram, Twitter.
Yes, sir. All right. So without further ado, we'll get right into it. So we're going to start off with some men's soccer, and we would just like to start off on what has happened so far. So the Turk Amelki Classic, with the two matches, the loss to the ranked Montclair. They lost 1-0 over against Montclair, and then they won over Bruges 4-1.
So. Yeah, the team traveled down to DC for the first weekend of the year, down into the nation's capital, took on a ranked Montclair, and you know, I would say a 1-0 loss versus a ranked team is a great way to start your season. It sets a precedent. Obviously, you would like to win that game, but this team coming in had some turnover. They lost some key players, including a starting goalkeeper and Brian Terra, who graduated. Only 1-0 loss is a great way to start the season. And then they backed that up the next day on Sunday, September 4th, with a 4-0 victory, which I think just kind of proves that they're in this year to win.
Yeah, exactly, Brian. And I mean, what you were saying against Montclair, having them being ranked and only allowing one goal, that is very, very impressive going into the other matches, as they lost 2-0 against Hamilton, and then they won 3-1 against Ithaca. But the one thing that I would just like to mention about this team so far is that they haven't been that consistent. There's been a lot of inconsistencies with this season so far, as they've just been like winning and they've been looking great, but they've also, when they lose, they're you know, they're not like terrible, but it's not the consistent track that you would want to be in. So they've been able to get goals in bunches, but they haven't had any shutouts yet, and they don't really have any like true scoring threat in any of their players. So they're, as the season goes along and as we get into Suniacs, they probably want to have like one of their guys to be their main scoring threat, or a couple guys to just step up and have an identity for their team.
Yeah, because, you know, if you look at like the way the season, obviously we've mentioned all the games so far, Montclair, Baruch, Hamilton, Ithaca, and Elmira, they've scored 7 goals all year. You think in 5 games, that's not too bad, except the 4-1 versus Baruch, 3-1 versus Ithaca, that's all 7 goals in just 2 games. They got shut out in the other 3, 1-0, 2-0, and then 1-0 again to Elmira. So you're just kind of looking, as you said, consistency. You want at least a goal a game. You want to find that true scoring threat, because so far there's only one player that has more than a single goal this year. That's Kieran Gilroy. The other 6 goals have been from 6 different scorers, which, if they're scoring goals every game, that's a great thing. 6 different goal scorers on the year is phenomenal, but when it's 7 goals in 2 games out of 5, there's no one leading the line for the men's soccer team. There's not that true striker, the true winger who's finding the back of the net consistently, or even a midfielder. They're really, it's kind of coming from everywhere, but not every game, which is really what they're missing. Mm-hmm.
And transferring over to goalkeeping, Matt D'Arpino has just been like outstanding. He's allowed 5 goals in, you know, 4 games, which I guess isn't as outstanding as I thought it was, but he is definitely someone that you got to keep an eye on, and he is the only one player has allowed more than 1 goal, and that was Kieran Gilroy here for the men's soccer team. And with goalkeeping, you need to obviously save the ball from going in. That is obviously the number one job as a goalkeeper, but you also just have to be that stable force for your team. You can't allow all these goals getting in, even if it's only 1, even if it's only like 2-3. It's like you gotta be that stable force, and obviously it's not all on D'Arpino. You need the offense to show up, but it's also, you gotta make sure you don't get down early, because that can really discourage this soccer team.
Yeah, and I think D'Arpino's in kind of this transition period, because, like I mentioned, Brian Terra had been their starting goalkeeper for a couple years coming into the couple seasons previous to this one, and all of a sudden they lose D'Arpino. He had been a graduate student, so he's now gone, and they're left with D'Arpino, a junior, Finian Costello, who's a junior, and also, I believe, freshman Andre Borgioli. And so the question really was, who's going to take that job? And it looks like D'Arpino has won that job, playing in 4 of their 5 games, starting for all 4 games he's played in. So I don't think he's done terribly. I think there's just a little bit of like a transition process that hopefully by the time we get to Suniacs, which we'll get to, is the next game Saturday afternoon from when we record this podcast. I think hopefully him and the defense, because it's not just on him, obviously, he has to work with the defense. He's called the shots. The defense has to work together. And I think, I can't say they haven't done that. I mean, there hasn't been a game where they've allowed more than 2 goals. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to fault anybody. I think it's just the games where they're scoring all the time is great, but the games where they're not scoring, that hurts. Because the defense is consistently 1 goal a game. That's not bad. I mean, you want the shutouts.
Especially against ranked opponents, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want the shutouts, but you can't ask for a shutout every game. 1 goal a game against, which is what they've done in 4 of the 5, except for the Hamilton College loss, which was 2-0, is a great way to start the year for the defense. I think it's really just the offense that is kind of holding them back. So I don't want to fault D'Arpino here, because that's a really good record.
Yeah, so now transitioning over to the Suniacs. So obviously Brian said that The first game is going to be this Saturday at 1 against Fredonia, and that's going to be their home Suniac opener. And so far against Fredonia, they are 13-37-6 all time. That's not really a good record to look at as you go against Fredonia. Their last matchup, they won 2-1 in double overtime, and that was last year. But as we get into the Suniacs and getting to your record as 2-3 before the Suniacs, that's not that bad. That's not something to put your head down about. I feel like that's something where obviously the offense hasn't been there consistently, but you can see that the defense has improved, especially against ranked opponents. And it'll be interesting to see if the offense can improve against these Suniac opponents that aren't ranked and aren't going to give you, it's going to be tough rivalry games, but it's not going to be as like an uphill climb as someone like a Montclair or a Hamilton will give you.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Fredonia comes into this game only 1-3-1. That's probably a worse record than we have. Same amount of losses, less wins. They have the tie in there. So they're not on a tear to start this season either. So if you can come into this game, come out of it with a win, you have to think, like, that's a great way to start the Suniacs. Because looking at the Suniac website, it doesn't seem like there's a new point system. I'm not 100% sure on how it works this year. But non-conference games don't matter to the point system, which is going to determine the final standings. So if they can come out of this first game with Fredonia, who isn't the hottest, they are 2-1, or they've won two of the last three matches with them. They obviously, as you said, Alex, they won the last game 2-1 last year in double overtime. Obviously, they missed 2020 due to the COVID season. 2019 they lost, but 2018 they also won 2-1. So they had recent times they are on a good way, like on a good tear. Have a good record versus them. Two of their last three games is a great way to start, a great thing to look at. It's like, hey, we have taken this team, we've beaten them two of the last three times we played them. Let's keep it, look at 3 out of 4.
And you also got to think, it's like when you're facing the Suniacs, it's kind of like a reset. It's kind of like this is going to be the start of our season. Because as you mentioned, the conference games, yes, they matter when playoffs start and they matter as getting good momentum, but Suniacs is where the season starts. If you can be decent during, have like a 2-3 record, that's not that bad. But once it gets to Suniacs, obviously that's every game you're going out there and you want to win them. I'm not saying that that's not for every single game against these ranked opponents, but it's just a different feeling when you're facing teams like Brockport and Cortland and Oneonta as we get into the Suniac preview, as Cortland is going to be next weekend, the 24th. Cortland's number 17 in the country, and then Oneonta is number 19 in the country, and they will take on Oswego October 15th. So two tough Suniac matchups, as these guys are nationally ranked. So it's going to be interesting going into these next couple weeks to see if Oswego can put more offense and stay with their consistent defense. So,
yeah, I mean, the Suniacs, it's, as you said, this is where it really counts. This is where you have to come together as a team, fight for every single game. There is no garbage time. There is no, like, oh, we're down 3-0, 3-1. We're out of this game. Suniacs, every game matters. This is where you want to fight. I mean, this team last year snuck into the playoffs. They barely made it into the Suniac Championships and then fought their entire way to the Suniac Champ. Like, they fought all the way to the championship round. They almost won. Took a tough loss to Cortland. But, I mean, they showed it last year. They can show it again this year. Mm-hmm. Fight for every single game. You're never out of it. All it takes is one player to step up, and they bring everybody with them. So you have to think, and maybe it is Kieran Gilroy, the guy who scored two goals, maybe he finds the tear versus Fredonia, and it continues into the next matchup, which is Brockport midweek on the Wednesday, then to Corland.
And just to mention, it's like, and in the game of soccer, it's like possession can change any time. It's like there shouldn't be no like, oh, we're just gonna quit because we're down 5-0 after the third quarter. Like we gotta go out there and we gotta, you know, score all these goals and stay with the game. It's like you gotta stay with the ball, and it's just with the possessions just changing all the time. It's like it's something to not hang your head low about. So
yeah, exactly. Men's like soccer is a game that possession matters the most, I would say. Mm-hmm. Owning the ball, being able to control the midfield, the attacking third definitely, but controlling the midfield, pass the ball everywhere, bounce it around, full crosses into the box. That's where it matters. If you have the ball, you have the opportunity to score. So if you can take a game where you have 65-70% possession, you're going to win. And I think that's where they have to focus, is possession.
All right, so that was our discussion on men's soccer. So they will play against Fredonia Saturday at 1. So as this podcast comes out, hopefully that'll be tomorrow. So once that'll be a day from when it gets released. So they'll start the Suniac matchup, and now we're going to head over to women's soccer, and we'll get ready to talk about that.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk to this women's soccer team, even if it's not the majority of our discussion, because they came out of the gates this year firing. They went 3-0 to start. They've come back down to earth a little bit. They're 0-2-1 in their last three games, but that back-to-back 7-0 win to start the season, and then a 1-0 win. They had 15 goals in three games and didn't allow a single one against them. And it's not like they have been completely turned it around. Their last game versus Hamilton was a tough one, a 4-1 loss. But the previous two, a loss to Ithaca 2-1. They showed fight. A 0-0 tie to Utica is still, like, they're fighting. It's not like they completely, the script completely flipped. I think they lost a step somewhere. The scouting reports, the film on them kind of started to pick up. But obviously you saw it in the first three games. That is still in them somewhere. And they still have a game left this weekend, also on Saturday, doubleheader at the turf with men's soccer. They play at 3:30. They're taking on Clarkson. So non-conference before they start their Suniac play midweek Wednesday at home versus Brockport. But, I mean, this team is exciting.
Yeah, the record may not show it. You know, 3-2-1, you may not see you can pretty much count them, as you said, they have that fight in them. Obviously, they won three games to start, and they started off with three straight shutouts and 15 goals scored. Like that is one of the best starts I have seen here at my time at Oswego. And, you know, obviously you mentioned they did come down to earth a little bit. They've only scored two total goals. So as we mentioned with men's soccer, you know, the offense needs to stay consistent there, because as you face Suniac opponents next week, you got to keep that fight in you. You got to keep that tough attitude against these Suniac opponents, and it will do you good against Brockport, Cortland, and Potsdam coming up in these next couple matchups.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game versus Clarkson on Saturday is really, I think maybe the litmus test is, have they kind of gotten out of this funk? I'm going to call it a funk. Yeah. I'm not going to say that their average is that 7-0, but I think I think an average might be a 3-1 for them. So I think I'm going to call this a funk that they're in.
Yeah, no, that would be fair. I mean, against Clarkson, this is going to be their test. It's their pre-Suniac test. It's going to gauge where they're at. You could be 4-2-1 and get a lot of momentum going into the Suniac, or you could fall to 3-3-1 and kind of be scrambling there. So we'll see what happens. I could agree that they will turn it around against Clarkson. I actually believe that they'll show some more offense and they'll show everyone that they can fight. So I think my prediction for this game, I don't know if we want to go into predictions, but I would say against Clarkson, probably I would say like a 4-1 game. I'd say 4-1.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go a little more conservative. I'm gonna go 2-2 draw. I think the goals come back, but I mean the 4-1 loss to Hamilton is might be a little bit demoralizing, especially on the defensive side. So I'm gonna go 2-2 draw for them. They'll head into the SUNY exit 3-2-2. Mm-hmm. But I think another storyline that we need to kind of pay attention to here is the emergence of Perry Anderson. So last year, Haley Mule was the starting goalie. She started all 14 games last year, and she had not a horrible season. But I think head coach Brian McGrain wanted to get a little better there, because Mule last year in 14 games, she started all 14, she allowed 23 goals. That's not the best. 57 saves is still really good and led the team to a 5-8 record. That's not bad. But Perry Anderson, a transfer from Pace University, has had a really good start to the year. In the six games she's played, she's allowed 6 goals. So similar to Darpino, 1 goal more. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a lot coming. I mean, that's the 4 goals coming from the game versus Hamilton the other day. 4 of those. The other games, it would have been 2 goals in the other 4 games or 5 games she played.
Yeah, and it just seems with Perry Anderson getting the start, I just think that's just something where Haley Mule shouldn't get discouraged. You know, obviously that's one of the biggest positions on a soccer field, trying to be a goalkeeper. But you can't get discouraged. You got to keep your head high. And I feel like it's just riding with the hot hand. I mean, as you mentioned, Perry Anderson has been the girl. I would say be the guy, but she's been the girl.
Yeah,
she's been the one who has stepped up for this Oswego team when they needed it. And going into the Suniacs, you gotta gauge. You gotta see who's gonna be the one who you wanna trust to, you know, help you win some games. So Perry Anderson moving here, I'm not surprised, but I'm also like, you know, it's a sophomore and versing a junior, so it could be a little shocker, but you know, you just gotta ride with the hot hand.
So. Yeah. And I mean Anderson had a great record coming in. She played 12 games last year for Pace, made 11 starts. She got 42 saves, a 1.34 goals against average. So, and she has a 1.00 goals against average so far with 12 saves. So, I mean, it's obviously she's on an upward trajectory. And I think, like you said, ride the hot hand. Upward trajectory, I mean, she can only get better. She's got another 3 years here. She's only a sophomore. So, I think head coach Brian McGrain made I don't want to say the right choice, because I don't think Mule would have been the wrong choice. But I think Anderson is definitely, like, looking like maybe a future star for this team.
Yeah, and things could change. I mean, it's a long season, you know. But exactly. I believe that Perry Anderson will do really good for this Oswego team. So
yeah. Looking for the latest Oswego State's hockey news, tune into the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. Host Zach Case and Thomas Turgeon update listeners on the Oswego State men's and women's hockey teams. Interviews, opinions, and hot takes all from the Oswegonian office. Check out the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, a podcast under the Oswegonian Multimedia Department.
Two studs, Brian. Two studs.
Yeah, I love those guys.
All right, so we're going to transition from the other team that plays on Laker turf, field hockey. So we'll talk about how they have been extremely hot. They are 5-0 so far. They have 36 goals to their opponent's 1, and that 1 goal just came in their last game against Keystone. I mean, I was on the call against the game this past Saturday against Sage, and they didn't even allow the other team to get into their scoring range. And it was just unbelievable defense, but also just great offense from everyone. And it just seems like so far, like Casey Simser, she has 9 goals. She had 4 against Keystone. Caitlin Mastracco, she has 7 goals. And she had a hat trick against Cayuga, which was the team before Sage on this past Friday. And the defense has only allowed 20 shots on goal during the 5 games played. It's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, this is an insane stretch. They started the season with an 11-0 victory versus Madai, followed that up by a 5-0 victory versus Houghton, a 7-0 over Kiyuka, and an 8-0 over Sage, followed by traveling down to Pennsylvania, the 5-1 victory versus Keystone. That's an insane start to the season, but I don't want to like overhype it because they had a very similar start last season, mm-hmm. and they hit the Suniacs and they fell down to earth real fast.
Yeah. I mean, Erica Schipline, she must just think like she can't be just, you know, content there. She can't just like expect like nothing to come at her, because obviously she allowed her first goal of the season. Obviously it was a 5-1 victory, and you can't falter, because you can't get, you know, Schipline can't be complacent, as you know, because obviously a lot of these teams that they've faced, they haven't allowed they haven't been able to get any shots on goals. But you always got to be prepared, because as you mentioned, Brian, the Suniacs are coming up. And the question is, will they flip the script against these Suniac opponents? As we mentioned, they did start off hot last season, but they really fell against these Suniac opponents and weren't able to make a push last year. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if they will flip the script.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at last year, I mean, it was how they started versus Howard, and it was a 5-0. Then Madai, 7-0. They took on Wells, 12-0. Sage again, 6-0. So they started like almost the exact same last year. Then they hit a tough stretch. University of Rochester, a loss. St. John Fisher, a loss. They opened the Suniacs, and it's like, okay, who is this team? 5-0 to Morrisville State in the Suniac. That's a great way to start. Another beat Elmira, Utica, and the Suniacs came back. New Paltz, a loss. Geneseo, another loss. They'd win in shootout versus Brockport, a loss to Oneonta, a loss to Cortland. I mean, conference play last year was not their friend. They were only 2-4, and one of those was an overtime shootout.
Yeah, I mean, 3 straight losses to end the season, like that must kill you inside. Like it does not help that when you're going into this season and you're facing against these same Suniac opponents, that you lost 3 straight at the end of the season. I mean, it should give them more, you know, more determination and more drive to do better, but it's gonna be interesting to look and see if they can make any adjustments and actually see if they're an actual real Suniac threat.
Yeah. And they still have a couple games left till the Suniacs. They have a game this weekend versus the University or St. Lawrence University away. They come back home for a midweek versus University of Rochester at home before next weekend opening versus the Suniacs against New Paltz. So they still have time to work out kinks, become more of a cohesive team, but nothing's set until that Suniac opener. So I want to pump the brakes a little bit on the gas fire that this team is lighting.
It's just hard, Brian. I mean, they're starting off 5-0, and it's like, obviously, you're just like, oh, this team is just looking so good. They're not allowing, they've only allowed 1 goal. And I'm just like, I'm getting excited about field hockey. But it's just like, it's when the Suniacs come, it's just that is going to be the bread and butter of this season. Like, it's going to be a real test for Erica Schipline, Caitlin Mastracco, Casey Simser, all of these athletes who are just dominating this game so far. And Obviously, we'll see if that changes against teams like New Paltz, teams like Oneonta, teams like Cortland, who they have struggled against last season. But I'm getting a little excited, but I need to pump my expectations a little bit.
Yeah, and if you just take a look, I'm looking at the rankings. I mean, again, there are ranked opponents in the SUNYAC, just as they are for every sport. But SUNY Cortland sits at 19. SUNY New Paltz is right now sitting at 21. So technically unranked, but I mean, they're right there. They're 21st in the point system. That's the team they opened the SUNYACs against in New Paltz. So that's the test. A team that, I mean, by the time they get to that game could be ranked. Are they going to match up?
And it's going to be those two athletes, as I mentioned, Mastrocco, Simser, Ali, like all those three are going to be the test. Like they are going to be the ones who are going to lead this team against the SUNYACs. And maybe they've learned something from last year, as hopefully they can turn around and keep this momentum going into their first game against New Paltz. So,
yeah. Well, I think that wraps up our conversation on the Laker sports this week. Next week, I think we're taking a little deeper look at the field hockey team, as they, right before the Open SUNYACs, soon after this episode, our next episode will come out, episode 2 released, probably look for it next Friday, next early Saturday morning. So, my name, I've been Brian Burrows. You can find me on Twitter, Brian_Burrows11.
And then I'll put in my handle, AlexJBrooks_ on Twitter, and also follow us on Twitter as well, the 104 Sports Report, and just keep tuning in, because we are very excited to take over this podcast and we're excited to talk about Laker sports. So we appreciate every one of you for tuning in, and hopefully you guys can tune in for more episodes down the line.
Yeah, thank you everybody for watching. Also, don't forget to check out the Ostrogonian Twitter page, Ostrogonian Multimedia Twitter page as well. But yes, thank you everybody for listening. Hope wherever you are, you're having a great day.
Yep. Have a good one.